Ezekiel chapter 48. In this chapter, the Lord is going to continue describing to Ezekiel his plan for Israel's future, for it to be restored with its Messiah dwelling with it. Verse 1. And these are the names of the tribes, from the north end unto the side of the way of Hethlon, at the coming in to Hamath, Hazar Anan, the border of Damascus northward, unto the side of Hamath, and they have been his side east and west, Dan 1. The tribe of Dan is one of the 12 tribes, and it's on the north side in the territory of Israel that's being described here. In the last chapter, the Lord said that Israel's territory will increase, as it was originally when the Israelites first came there. 2. And by the border of Dan, from the east side unto the west side, Asher 1. 3. And by the border of Asher, from the east side even unto the west side, Naphtali 1. So far, three tribes have been mentioned, starting on the north. The tribe of Asher's territory touches Dan's, and the tribe of Naphtali's territory touches Asher's. 4. And by the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, Manasseh 1. So Manasseh's territory passes through Israel from the east to the west. All of these tribal territories so far do. Manasseh's is the fourth one mentioned, but it starts at the top with Dan, whose land goes from east to west, and then under him, Asher, then south of that tribe, Naphtali, and south of that tribe, Manasseh. It's a new district map because originally in Israel, not all of their territories went from east to west. Some of those tribes only had territory on the east or the west, but not both sides. But here the Lord is going to separate it so that each of these tribes touches the desert and the Mediterranean Sea. So all of them are going to have seafront property in this millennial reign. 5. And by the border of Manasseh, from the east side unto the west side, Ephraim 1. 6. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side unto the west side, Reuben 1. South of Manasseh is Ephraim, and south of Ephraim is Reuben's territory. 7. And by the border of Reuben, from the east side unto the west side, Judah 1. Judah's territory is south of Reuben, and Judah's territory is where Jerusalem is. Jerusalem is approximately in the center of Israel, because that's where the Lord is, and he will be in the midst of his people. 8. And by the border of Judah, from the east side unto the west side, is the heave offering that ye lift up, 25,000 broad and long, as one of the parts, from the east side unto the west side, and the sanctuary hath been in its midst. Remember several chapters back when they described this heave offering section that was on both sides of the sanctuary in the temple complex? This won't be for a specific tribe. It will be for where they have the heave offering. Usually the heave offering is a grain offering, so there is going to be grain growing there. And the priest would lift it up to the Lord and thank him for that food. And then the priest would get part of it. And the part that he waves is the part that the priest receives. Sometimes a heave offering is part of an animal, but usually it's grain. The priest does wave grains before the Lord after the Passover feast. So it makes sense for this area to be close to the temple. 25,000 cubits is 6 miles. So on each side of the sanctuary, there's going to be 6 miles of this grain area. 10. And of these is the holy heave offering for the priests, northward 25,000, and westward in breadth 10,000, and eastward in breadth 10,000, and southward in length 25,000. And the sanctuary of Jehovah hath been in its midst. Looks like there's more area going north and south with this heave offering section than going east and west. 11. for the priests who are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, who have kept my charge, who erred not in the erring of the sons of Israel, as the Levites erred. The sons of Zadok killed some of the priests who were practicing paganism in the temple. They were zealous for the Lord, and they killed those priests in order to cleanse the temple. They did the right thing, and so they are eternally honored for that. 12. Even the heave offering hath been to them, out of the heave offering of the land most holy, by the border of the Levites. The descendants of Zadok are going to get an extra portion of this heave offering area, which has grain. 13. And to the Levites over against the border of the priests are 25,000 in length, and in breadth 10,000. All the length is 25,000, and the breadth 10,000. The Levites have an area where they can live because they were not given any tribal inheritance of land, but they are given a place where they can dwell and have houses. 14. And they do not sell of it, nor exchange, nor cause to pass away the first fruit of the land, for it is holy to Jehovah. The Levites aren't allowed to sell the inheritance that they have been given, and they're not allowed to hoard the best part of it for themselves either. The Lord is holy, and the best and the first is always for Him, because He will provide for all of our needs, even when we give to Him. 15. And the 5,000 that is left in the breadth, on the front of the 25,000 is common for the city, for dwelling, and for suburb, and the city hath been in its midst. There is going to be a suburb area around the city where people can live. 16. And these are its measures, the north side, 500, and 4,000, the south side, 500, and 4,000, and on the east side, 504,000, and on the west side, 504,000. 45,000 cubits is approximately 12.5 miles. On each side of the temple area, there is going to be 12.5 miles of land where anybody can live. 17. And the suburb to the city hath been northward, 50 and 200, and southward 50 and 200, and eastward 50 and 200, and westward 50 and 200. There's a common area going around the temple area where anybody could live, and now it's giving even a bigger measurement. And I'm not sure why. It looks like there's two different zones, one to live in and maybe just one for crops. I'm not quite sure which is which. But in this second measurement, in verse 17, it says that it's 5,200 cubits. So it's a smaller area for the suburbs. But I'm not sure what the 45,000 cubits is for versus the 5,200 cubits area. 18. And the residue in length over against the heave offering of the holy portion is 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward. And it hath been over against the heave offering of the holy portion, and its increase hath been for food to the servants of the city. And food will actually be grown in this area. 19. Even to him who is serving the city, they serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. There's an area that they can grow food for the workers who work in the city. But in the original law of God, only Levites worked in the city. But this chapter seems to say that people from all tribes will work in the city. So this also has spiritual significance in a spiritual sense. We are all priests in Jesus Christ when we follow Him and we teach others His laws. In the millennial reign, God's children will be in Jerusalem with Him, making judgments over the entire world. There will be His people from all different tribes, whether they were born into that tribe or engrafted in through faith and salvation. 20. All the heave offering is 25,000 by 25,000, square do ye lift up the heave offering of the holy portion with the possession of the city. It's called heave because it is lifted up to the Lord. It's kind of like we're showing him, look what you did for us, and then we eat the food. 21. And the residue is for the prince, on this side and on that side of the heave offering of the holy portion, and of the possession of the city, on the front of the 25,000 of the heave offering, unto the east border, and westward, on the front of the 25,000, on the west border, over against the portions of the prince, and the heave offering of the holy portion, and the sanctuary of the house, hath been in its midst. There is a part of this that's just for the prince. That would be the high prince, and in the millennial reign, it would be Jesus Christ. He is the high prince, eternal. His portion wouldn't just be for him individually as a person, but his entire family and household. And household includes servants. I don't know how this relates to Jesus in the millennial reign, except for it will be for him to decide who eats from that area. 22. And from the possession of the Levites, from the possession of the city, in the midst of that which is to the prince, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, there is to the prince. South of Judah's territory is this area that has the grains, and then south of that would be the territory of Benjamin. But it says in between Judah and Benjamin is the territory of the high priest or the prince, and that would also be Jesus. Jesus owns the whole world. He created it. But this area must be for some specific purpose that the high priest or Jesus would use it for. 23. As to the rest of the tribes, from the east side unto the west side, Benjamin 1. So now we're traveling southward again on the map, and it starts with Benjamin, just south of Judah and the prince's land and the land for the heave offering. 24. And by the border of Benjamin, from the east side unto the west side, Simeon 1. Simeon's territory is south of Benjamin. 25. And by the border of Simeon, from the east side unto the west side, Issachar 1. 26. And by the border of Issachar, from the east side unto the west side, Zebulun 1. 27. And by the border of Zebulun, from the east side unto the west side, Gad 1. 28. And by the border of Gad, at the south side southward, the border hath been from Tamar to the waters of Meriboth Kadesh, the stream by the great sea. South of Benjamin is the tribe of Simeon. South of Simeon, going east to west, is the tribe of Issachar. South of Issachar's territory is the tribe of Zebulun. And south of Zebulun's territory, going east to west, is the territory of Gad. And Gad is the last tribe, and it touches the Mediterranean Sea, as all of their territory does, and it also goes all the way to an area called Tamar. It's really amazing that there is a new tribal map where all of the tribes go all the way across Israel, getting a portion of the Mediterranean Sea, along with all the other landscapes that go throughout Israel. 29. This is the land that ye separate by inheritance to the tribes of Israel, and these are their portions, an affirmation of the Lord Jehovah. This isn't how the land is separated today, but this is a vision of the future. 30. And these are the outgoings of the city on the north side, 504,000 measures. 31. And the gates of the city are according to the names of the tribes of Israel. 3 gates northward. Now this looks like the same blueprint for the New Jerusalem, where there are 12 gates to the city. There's 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west, and 3 on the east. And each gate has a name of one of the tribes on it. So during the millennial reign, if this is what this vision is, there will be, again, 12 gates to the city. Each gate will be named after a tribe, and I assume that even in the millennial reign, each of us will be assigned one gate to enter into, and that will resemble the tribe that we are grafted into when we go into the city to worship the Lord and serve Him. The millennial reign will last for 1,000 years on earth, and then after that comes the Battle of Armageddon, and then after that, Judgment Day and the New Jerusalem. So now it's describing what gates are on which side. The gate of Reuben, 1. The gate of Judah, 1. The gate of Levi, 1. Those are the tribal gates that are on the north side, which is on the right side of the temple if you're facing it. 32. And on the east side, 500 and 4,000 and 3 gates. The length that has the gates is 54,000 cubits, and within that 54,000 cubits are 3 gates. The gate of Joseph, 1, the gate of Benjamin, 1, the gate of Dan, 1. So on the east side, which is the front of the temple, there are 3 gates that lead to the city before you go into the temple complex. 33, and the south side, 504,000 measures, and 3 gates, the gate of Simeon, 1, the gate of Issachar, 1, the gate of Zebulun, 1. The tribes of Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun will enter from the south side. 34, the west side, 504,000 cubits, their gates, 3, the gate of Gad, 1, the gate of Asher, 1, the gate of Naphtali, 1. On the west side, that's behind the temple, but when you're entering these gates, you'll go through the gates, but then you'll have to go either north or south to gain entrance to the temple, because you won't have immediate entrance there on the west side, since that is the back of the temple where there's no entrance to the temple. 35. Roundabout is 18,000, and the renown of the city is from the day Jehovah is there. The day He's there is the day of the millennial reign of Christ. So I'm still waffling back and forth on whether or not this is the millennial temple. And the only reason is because it mentions the sin offering and the guilt offering in this book, which couldn't be allowed during the millennial reign because Jesus was our guilt offering and our sin offering. So that's why I'm extremely confused. And some of this vision could be metaphorical, some of it could be literal for the millennial reign, but I can't be for sure how to interpret it. And that concludes Ezekiel chapter 48, and it also concludes the book of Ezekiel. In our next episode, we will be reading from the book of Daniel.